wasn't for him, we wouldn't know where this place was. It's my first visit here. So, today we're going to discuss about both forest fires. Both forest fires. Krishna extinguished two forest fires. The first one was here. Actually, the first one was here. It was on the night of the day that Krishna chastised Kaliya. The same night. Yeah. And the second forest fire was over in Bandiravan. Bandiravan's on the other side of the Yamuna River and a little further north going up the Yamuna River. And Krishna extinguished that forest fire the same day that Lord Balaram killed Pralambasura. So we're going to discuss about Pralambasura tomorrow. Anyway, there are these two forest fires. The first forest fire, according to Srila Sanatana Goswami, he gives two possibilities as to who the forest fire was. Normally, of course, you wouldn't think of a forest fire as being a person who could be classified as a demon. But according to Sanatana Goswami, that forest fire was a person. And one possibility is that he was a friend of Kaliya's who was trying to avenge the chastisement of Kaliya. And the other suggestion which some other people give, which Sanatana Goswami refers to, he may have been a demon associate of Kamsa, sent by Kamsa. Then the second forest fire, according again to Sanatana Goswami, he says that some people say that the second forest fire was a friend of Pralambasura's. So, very interesting perspective on these forest fires. The
Bandiravan?
Oh, I'm not sure offhand.
You said the same day as...
It was the same day that Balaram killed Pralambasura. Yeah. And I just checked last night. The reason that Lord Balaram was not present when Krishna was initially grabbed by Kaliya is that Kaliya Damana Leela takes place on Lord Balaram's birthday. So there's that Kaliya Damana Leela, chastisement of Kaliya, plus the Brahma Vimohana Leela. Both of them take place on the appearance day of Lord Balaram. And also this first forest fire also takes place on that day. So that's just some interesting little points of information. Both of these pastimes are quite short, these two forest fires, and in many ways they're remarkably similar. So the first one, on that day that Krishna chastised Kaliya, by the time Krishna had finished chastising Kaliya and the whole pastime had come to an end and Kaliya had been sent away, because it had been such an emotional experience, such an extremely emotional experience for all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Everyone was feeling just exhausted, actually, because of all the emotions that had been aroused, and because these transcendental emotions, one thing we should understand is naturally, they're extremely deep. They're much deeper than material emotions. So they have very real effects on the body. In fact, our acharyas explain that these emotions cannot be tolerated by a material body. When Raghunath Das Goswami, he was living at Radhakund, so he would occasionally edit books for Rupa Goswami. So one time Srila Rupa Goswami gave Raghunath Das Goswami Lalita Madhava to edit. And in Lalita Madhava, at the beginning of the, it's a drama, at the beginning of the drama, Lord Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and there's very vivid descriptions of how all the inhabitants of Vrindavan become completely overwhelmed with transcendental emotions and separation from Krishna. And eventually, I don't know how many of you have read Lalita Madhava, but eventually they start dying. And Srimati Radharani dies, Lalita dies. So many of these great Vrijvasis leave their bodies because of the emotions. So Raghunath Das Goswami was editing this, and he came to this part, and he himself became completely overwhelmed hearing about the moods of the Vrijvasis in separation from Krishna. And his emotions became so extreme that it appeared that he was going to die himself. Not just die, but that his body was going to be literally physically torn apart by the very dramatic emotional symptoms. So one devotee went running back to Rupa Goswami, I'm not sure where he was, but in some other part of Raj, and explained this, and said, "You've got to do something to save his life." So then Rupa was trying to think what to do. He thought, "I could always go and ask him for the book back, but he may not give it back." So then he thought, "I know what I'll do. I'll write another book, which is all about Radha and Krishna meeting after separation and becoming very happy and satisfied in each other's association. Then I'll tell Raghunath Das that this is an emergency editing job. You must quickly edit this book." So then he wrote Dan Kali Komudi, which is to do with that tax collecting pastime which we discussed at Govardhan Hill about 10 days ago. Although it's his version, and Raghunath Das Goswami later wrote his own version. So then he went and did just that. He gave the book to Raghunath Das and told him, please edit this immediately. It's very important. And in the meantime, why don't you give me back that Lalita Madhava? Because I want to make some changes to it. So then Raghunath Das was reading about Radha and Krishna meeting there on Govardhan Hill, and he became pacified. Anyway, so I'm just saying this because the inhabitants of Vrindavan, after that pastime of Krishna chastising Kaliya, they felt completely drained. There are two pastimes in Vrindavan in which the ecstasy of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan is aroused in the mood of separation simultaneously. One is that Kaliya Leela, and the other is Krishna's Leela of leaving Vrindavan. So in both Leelas, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan are involved, even the animals and the plants. They're all involved, and there's extreme emotions of separation evoked. So therefore the inhabitants of Vrindavan thought that we're feeling too weak to walk all the way back to the village, so let's just take rest here on the banks of the river. So they went a little distance back from the river. Do you remember how yesterday we were in Kaliyagat? So they walked up right here to Davanala Kund, And they all took rest around here. I see there's some very ancient trees here. Actually, there's some, quite a number of kadamba trees. That big tree over there where we first stopped by that little sitting place. You see these little sitting places around Vraj. They're normally there to commemorate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, that they would sit, that they sat in that place. So anyway, maybe some of these trees witnessed Krishna's pastimes here, I don't know, but possibilities there. So they all came and they all took rest here. The cows, Jiva Goswami mentions that the cows were feeling anxiety. They all arrived here, and then Mother Yashoda wanted to milk some of the cows so that she could feed Krishna some milk. But the cows wouldn't let her, because they were feeling that earlier today we drank poison, so that means our milk has become contaminated. So they didn't want their milk to be fed to Krishna. So Mother Yashoda was approaching the cows, trying to get them to milk them, but they wouldn't let her catch them. They would keep moving away. So anyway, finally, they all took rest. Then sometime in the middle of the night, very, very late during the night, everyone was asleep, and this fire mysteriously broke out. There's no real description about how it broke out, but suddenly they found they were literally surrounded by fire. So they all the devotees went running to Krishna and took shelter of Krishna, and they're all praying to Krishna that, Krishna, please save our lives. We don't want to die. We don't want to die. So please save our lives. They were begging Krishna, please don't let us die. So you might think that this is like some mundane idea. Like the people in general, they don't want to die if they're confronted by some dangerous situation. And the inhabitants of Vrindavan seem to have the same mood, same idea. But actually that wasn't their idea. Just self-preservation was not their idea. Can anyone think what was their real idea, why they didn't want to die? Yeah, basically. They felt that if they died, they'd lose Krishna's association, and that would be worse than dying, along with dying. They didn't want to lose Krishna's association, so therefore they were pleading with Krishna, please save us. Please save our lives. So then Krishna told everyone, close your eyes. Krishna told everyone, you close your eyes and I'll save you. So everyone closed their eyes, and Krishna drank the fire. He literally ingested the fire, like in a way, like as a person is drinking liquid. This is very similar. A lot of this is very similar to the second forest fire. So Krishna drank the fire. Then a few seconds later, the Brijbasis opened their eyes and there was no fire. It was just gone. And Sanatan Goswami says, there's no need to question how Krishna did this. Don't worry thinking about it, because the same potency which was the fire was within Krishna anyway. The same potency which was the fire was within Krishna anyway. So for Krishna to just drink that fire was not difficult at all. So then the second forest fire, as we said, this was immediately after the killing of Kalambasura, and it took place in Bandiravan, which is quite some distance from here, unfortunately. Otherwise, we could also go there. But anyway, so it was over there. Krishna and the cowherd boys, they were herding the cows, and they entered one field which was full of very tall grass, and at the end of it was a forest. So the little cowherd boys, they were, the grass was taller than they were, so they're trying to go through this tall and like strong grass and keep up with the cows. But somehow, of course it's by Krishna's yogamaya potency, somehow the cows went ahead. And so Krishna, Balaram and the cowherd boys, they were left behind. So they came to the edge of the grass, like where the grass met the forest, and they saw no cows. Actually, it wasn't just cows. They had taken out the entire herd of Nanda Maharaj. So there were cows, there were buffaloes, and goats. Cows, buffaloes, and goats were there. So then all the cowherd boys panicked. We've lost our parents' cows. So they got into great anxiety, and they all took shelter of Krishna. And then Krishna, one by one, called all the animals by name. And they all came running out of the forest. Sanatana Goswami says this was Sankirtan. They were having Sankirtan, calling out the names of the cows and the goats and buffaloes, and they would all come running out, mooing and baaing, I guess, and in the case of the buffaloes, perhaps grunting or whatever buffaloes do. So they all came running out, and they were all dancing around Krishna. Krishna was calling their names, and they were all dancing, mooing, baaing. I think goats baa, do they?
No, sheep baa.
What do goats do? Oh, they sort of neigh, don't they? Anyway, goats were making their goat noises, and I assume the buffaloes were grunting. So they're all very happy having Sankirtan with Krishna. Then, suddenly, again it's not explained how it happened, but just suddenly a great fire arose, and again it completely encircled Krishna, the cowherd boys, and all the animals. And as we said, this fire is said to be, actually both Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Sanatana Goswami, they both say that this fire was a friend of Pralambasuras. So then again, Krishna told the cowherd boys, in this case it's only the cowherd boys who are with him, he told them all, close your eyes. Close your eyes. And Sanatana Goswami says that he told them to close their eyes because he felt that if they saw what he was going to do, which again was swallow the fire, that all this fire was going to be coming into him, like apparently overwhelming him. He felt they would become very concerned for his well-being, and they themselves, in order to protect him, they might dive into the fire to try and hold the fire back or something of that sort. And in this way, they might lose their lives. So the cowherd boys, they closed their eyes. Actually, they didn't want to close their eyes because they were in this mood of anxiety for Krishna. But they closed their eyes, and they discussed amongst themselves, and they thought, when a magician does some magic or something like that, he likes to do it in privacy. So here, of course, we're right out in the open. We can't really give Krishna privacy. But if we close our eyes, that'll be the same thing. So then Krishna drank the fire And our acharyas explain that the fire, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, the fire was scared of Krishna. So the fire, as Krishna swallowed the fire turned himself into an extremely cooling, fragrant, and sweet-tasting drink. And Krishna swallowed this fire drink in a single mouthful, and it was gone. So that, those are the two pastimes. Now, the first forest fire represents particularly hatred and arguments between devotees, which is a very serious type of anatta. And it can also represent any type of clash between different religions. Then the second one, second forest fire, represents the attack of atheism and other bogus philosophies. But I thought we could just focus a little bit more on this idea of the danger of fighting between devotees, intercommunal hatred. We all know there's been a history of hatred and fighting and killing and so on between religions. Even in India, you may not know, but going back, say, 1,000 years, going back 1,000 years, there were clashes even between the Vaishnavs and the Shivites. I don't know if you're aware of that. There are actually wars between the Vaishnavs and the Shivites. In the time of Ramanujacharya, there was one king who lived near to Sri Rangam. He was a Shivite, some maybe 100 miles away or something like that. And when he heard that Ramanujacharya is preaching so strongly Vaishnavism, and sometimes he says that Shiva isn't God, like that, then he decided, I'm going to kill this Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya and his associates heard about that. So one close associate of Ramanujacharya, his name was Kuresha. He was a householder, but he just disguised himself as Ramanujacharya and allowed himself to be arrested in the place of Ramanujacharya. And then that king, he didn't kill him, but what he did, he blinded Kuresha. Just because he was a Vaishnav and he didn't like Vaishnavs. So later, as I understand, later by Ramanuja's mercy, he got his sight back. But they were feeling very strongly about these things in those days. And sometimes they'd have debates between this religion and that within, like, what you might call Hinduism. And the agreement would be that whoever loses the debate has to commit suicide or alternatively surrender to the person who defeated him. So there's a story about how Ramanujacharya was challenged by, it was more than 1,000 Jains who are sort of to some extent within the broad context of Hinduism. So this was the agreement, that whoever loses has to commit suicide. Ramanujacharya agreed, the Jains agreed. So Ramanujacharya won. And he told these, there was something like 1,600 Jains. He told them, all right, so now either you have to surrender to me or commit suicide. And you know what they did?
Committed suicide.
They all committed suicide. About 1,500 or 1,600 Jains, they all killed themselves. rather than surrender. So, you know, there are very strong feelings. Even we know, like in the Gaudiya Mutt, also, going back to, I suppose, the late 30s or the 40s or thereabouts, there were some very strong feelings. And some of the, I mean, the Gaudiya Mutt split into a number of different little splinters, and some people were killed, actually. Some people were killed because of these hard feelings between the members of the Gaudiya Mutt. It's far out. It's really quite something. And even in ISKCON, we have our history. Not exactly our history, but...
They tried to kill Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He had to hide and the household had to change clothes with him. You know that story?
Right.
Yeah,
there are a number of stories of how different people wanted to kill Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. There was that policeman who got paid off by the local, I think, caste Goswamis, or one of the groups around here. Then one time Srila Bhaktisiddhanta got a hernia, which is quite a serious type of thing to happen. And generally speaking, when you get a hernia, you have to have an operation. Otherwise, you know, it becomes too much. So he was going to have the operation, but then he changed his mind. And he told some of his close associates that I've heard that the doctor has been paid to kill me. So according to what I was told, he tolerated that hernia for the rest of his life. It would come and go. And he just tolerated it when it would come, because he was concerned that the doctors might kill him. And even in ISKCON, in 1976, I remember being in Mayapur, and there was this heated debate. It never got to the point of violence, but verbally and mentally it was very, very strong. The sannyasis and brahmacharis versus the householders and the ladies, I guess. And it was really quite something. Some of you may have been there also and have seen what went on, but it was really not very nice. And, you know, New Vrindavan, it's not exactly ISKCON, at least in those days, but some very, very bad things happened. And all supposedly on the grounds of some spiritual considerations, some religious considerations or something like that. So it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. So we have to be very careful about that. Let's see. So what should we do if we see some devotees having some sort of differences? Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, at least as far as like verbal disputes and disagreements between devotees, Vrindavan Das Thakur gives some very nice advice. I'll just read it. It's very nice. Try and listen carefully. He says, if one sees two Vaishnavs quarreling, then one should never think that something is amiss or wrong, or that there is real enmity or malice between them. This is a pretty transcendental viewpoint. Such quarreling is in fact pleasing to the Lord and is transcendental. Even Srila Prabhupada said the same thing about his disagreements, or the disagreements between his godbrothers. Prabhupada said the same thing. It's transcendental. And he advised his disciples not to get into it. With the other. One who has developed such vision becomes steady in devotional service. One who glorifies, hears, and understands this transcendental subject matter can always avoid Vaishnava Parang. Sometimes it happens, there are like squabbles, minor quarrels between devotees. Men, women, it applies to both. You get these minor little disagreements, but those who are of a nature to get involved in such things, they then take one side. And then, suddenly, it's not just that one devotee quarreling with one other devotee, but it's one side against another side.
Bandwagon hopping. Hopping on a bandwagon.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you... Haven't you seen these things?
That's what they call it?
I've seen these things so many times, it's just...
It should be a bridge like that?
It's called hopping on a bandwagon, yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Going side.
Yeah. So, he's... This is in the case of, like, relatively minor dispute, but it's very good advice. Don't get involved, don't take a side. See it as transcendental, and if it needs to be corrected, if it seems to be a little serious, then if you can correct it, do, but if you can't, refer it to someone who can. But don't just get caught up in the whole sort of back and forward of these minor disputes. Then Srila Prabhupada made some comments about fighting within ISKCON. Incidentally, if any of you have to get back for Kavi Chandra Maharaj's class, it's probably a good idea to go now if you can remember the way. I think it took about 15 minutes to get here, and it's 9:15, so... Otherwise, we'll carry on. Probably take about another 5 or 10 minutes. So Prabhupada, he was very upset when devotees in ISKCON would really fight. You know, minor squabbles, of course he didn't like that also, but when devotees would actually fight and you get really heated, strong feelings, Prabhupada became very upset about such things. So here's one quote from Srila Prabhupada from one letter. Prabhupada says, "This fighting spirit will destroy everything. But what can I do? You American and European boys are trained up in this fighting attitude." And some of the Indians, I think. And the girls. Then he says, "Now put it aside and simply work cooperatively for spreading this movement all over the world." Then Prabhupada gives like some suggestions for how we may be able to get over this tendency of fighting between ourselves within ISKCON. Prabhupada says, "Our real business is preaching work. And if there's full attention on this matter only, all other businesses will be automatically successful. Fighting amongst ourselves is not at all good. And if our preaching work is neglected, like that, if these things are not strictly observed, then Maya will enter and spoil everything. So my best advice to you is to strictly observe these things yourself and be the example so that all others may follow. We should not criticize each other as Vaishnavas, because there's fault in everyone and we may be ourselves subject to criticism. Best thing is to be above suspicion ourselves. And then if we see discrepancies and make some suggestion, the others will automatically respect and then take some action to rectify the matters. That is cooperation. And we must exist on such cooperation. Otherwise the whole thing is doomed if we simply go on fighting over some small thing. So try to organize things and preach together in this spirit, and that will please me very, very much. So then, Prabhupada also made some comments in which he accepted the idea of fighting, encouraged fighting, but it wasn't between devotees. Prabhupada says, so this problem of fighting, we have to understand that fighting spirit is there in everyone. You cannot check it. You cannot stop it. We do not say stop. The Mayavadis, they say, you stop this thing, but it's not possible. You cannot stop. Because you're a living entity, you've got all these propensities. You've got fighting spirit. But it should be utilized properly, that's all. How to utilize it? Yes. Narottam Das Thakur recommends, Krodha Bhakta Dweshi Jane. Those who are envious of God or God's devotee, you can utilize your anger upon them. You can utilize the anger you cannot give up. Our business is how to utilize it. That's Krishna consciousness. So, that doesn't mean that you see some person walking down the street and you're aware this person is just some typical non-devotee, so let me beat him up. Not like that. Of course, those who are actually anti the devotees, Krodha Bhakta Dweshi Jane, then we can defend the devotees from them. But the main idea that Prabhupada is encouraging is that we can fight through pushing the preaching of Krishna consciousness. That's really fighting against the non-devotee mentality. Prabhupada would often say that we are fighting against Maya, and book distribution is dropping bombs like that. So that spirit can be there, because Prabhupada had that spirit of pushing on and not just giving up if there was some opposition, but pushing against the opposition. In this way this movement has been spread and reached all of us. So then just one final quote from Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, the living entity is victimized. And in this life, you can adventure to conquer over it. This is human life. The cats and dogs, they cannot fight with Maya. But a human being, he can fight. So if we don't fight, if we don't take that adventure, then we remain cats and dogs. The cats and dogs, they fight amongst themselves, but not against Maya. So, they do not know that fight, that the fighting spirit should be utilized to declare war against Maya. This fighting means philosophy. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. What is the ultimate cause? What is Brahman? What am I? Fighting against darkness, fighting against sleeping. Kota Nidra Jao Maya, Pisha Chira Kole. Everyone is sleeping on the lap of Maya. Now this human form of life is not for sleeping, but for awakening and fighting with Maya. That is human life. Yes, no sleeping. No sleeping during class. Sleep sleep during sleeping time and during class time, listen to the class. Like that. Like generally devotees don't fall asleep while taking prasadam.
Sometimes they do.
Although it has happened, I've seen it happen.
I've seen it also. I remember that.
So
that devotee's really exhausted.
See, this is one of the great differences between Srila Prabhupada and like the spirit he was encouraging in his followers and practically any other Vaishnava. Practically any other. This Prabhupada said about his coming to America. He said, I didn't wait till you American and European people invited me. I didn't wait for an invitation. I came and I pushed. So Prabhupada was like that. He really made that effort to push on the movement at any cost. And even Prabhupada himself said that he didn't want to just go to some quiet place to die. Prabhupada said, I want to be like Arjuna and fight. Prabhupada said, I want to die with my boots on like a soldier. Prabhupada said that. He wanted to die in the battlefield, meaning preaching Krishna consciousness. So this spirit, you know, we have this fighting spirit. No one can say that, oh, I'm so peaceful. I could never be provoked into fighting. Every single one of us can be provoked into fighting, and it's not hard to do that. But Prabhupada's saying that this fighting propensity should be channeled into fighting Maya, meaning not giving in to sensual attractions like that, and fighting Maya in the form of preaching, like this. And then, actually all of these propensities and tendencies that we have, if they can be engaged in Krishna consciousness, and then they won't drag us down, but they'll be helpful for our spiritual advancement. Any comments or questions? Mahamantra Paul?
Yeah, about this, about Krishna's, can you reiterate again about Krishna, why Krishna in the second forest fire when he asked them to close their eyes?
Right. In the second forest fire, Krishna asked the cowherd boys to close their eyes because he was going to inhale all this fire. That means the fire which was surrounding them was all going to come in and apparently sort of looked like it was going to cover Krishna and just consume Krishna, although he was actually going to consume it. But it was all going to come in over Krishna. So he thought that if the cowherd boys see that this fire is now attacking Krishna, then they would try to defend Krishna against the fire by like physically trying to hold it back, that they might come and dive into the fire, trying to push it back, and in this way they might lose their lives. So he didn't want them to see what was going to happen for that reason. Yeah. Sanatana Goswami says, Krishna asked the boy to close their eyes because if they see him swallowing the fire, they'll feel concern for his safety out of love, and will then enter the fire to protect him and be harmed.
Amazing. Amazing.
You were telling on the way about Babaji. Prabhupada said he was very addicted to tea.
Oh, yes.
So what does it mean? Maharaj, I couldn't get the point. He was wanting to...
There was one old bridge busi, some of you might have seen him, Bhagat Ji. He was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. But he was a bridge busi, if I remember correctly, and he was actually a very sincere and serious devotee. And he was practicing Krishna consciousness, and I think he gave the land which the Gurukul's on, if I'm not mistaken.
His mother.
So, he had one problem. He was addicted to tea. So Prabhupada would, you know, chastise him. I remember our Govinda Maharaj once telling me that once he went to visit Bhagatji, and Bhagatji was drinking some tea. But Govinda Maharaj thought, it must be herbal tea. It couldn't be just regular tea. So he asked Bhagatji, is this some herbal tea? Bhagatji put his head down and said, no. He was very embarrassed about it. He felt bad about it, but he was hooked. Because tea is addictive.
It's got caffeine.
It's addictive. I know in the prison cells of the London West End Central Police Station, having had the honor to spend some time there.
For book distribution?
For book distribution.
Really?
On a number of occasions. Yeah. There they have advertisements, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, to help the prisoners, because you get a lot of sort of down and out people. Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, and I saw Tea Drinkers Anonymous. In England.
Really?
Tea Drinkers Anonymous, yeah. So, well, it was you who was saying, wasn't it, that you heard that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that drinking tea is like drinking pig's urine.
No, I swear this tea is like pig's urine.
I swear this tea is like pig's urine.
Yeah, I have to find it where, of course.
Tea is like pig's urine. So anyway, this Bhagatji, he was addicted. And one day he discussed it with Prabhupada. Prabhupada would, you know, chastise him about it. And he would say, Prabhupada, I can't give it up. Then one time Prabhupada said to him, don't worry, when you go back to Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna will allow you to drink tea. Anyway, you know, sometimes it may be with people who are actually in many ways extremely advanced, but in some subtle ways they may have some deficiencies. Those deficiencies may not be counted as being very serious. Like in the case of Lord Brahma, then even when he chased his own daughter, which is, you know, what do they call it? Incest, or the desire for incest, which is really something quite very bad. But the sages considered that, you know, we must be lenient with him, because actually in other ways he's extremely advanced. In other ways he's extremely qualified. And if he corrects this, then why do we need to make a big issue out of it? So they didn't. And he gave up that body and then he advanced. Anyway, you know, we shouldn't apply that to ourselves and think, yes, well, I'm a devotee and I've been a devotee for X number of years, therefore I can, you know, dot, 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 fill in the blank. I can do something. No, we should be strict with ourselves. Some other questions or comments?
We see sometimes here in Vrindavan inhabitants smoking in some of these biddies. And also I heard Vamsi Das Babaji was also sometimes smoking. So yeah. We should also see if there's no mistake in it, or there is...
Yeah, the bridge buses, on the surface, so many of them have some bad habits. On one hand, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta criticized them that because they're so sinful, we were mentioning that yesterday, because they're sinful, therefore the Yamuna River was moving away. And Prabhupada himself said that Vrindavan was slowly turning into a desert because of the sinful activities of the local residents. On the other hand, Prabhupada himself said that they're very special souls, and even if they're sinful in this life and they're not able to go back to Godhead, because of their previous advancement, which is there within them, although it gets a little covered over, due to their previous advancement, in their next life they'll take birth as animals in Vrindavan, and then when they die, they'll go back to Godhead. So with them we should be, you know, we can't think in exactly the same terms we may think about people in the West. It's more superficial. And beneath the surface, material attachments, there is quite a deep attachment for Radha and Krishna. I remember one time I was on an auto rickshaw, a couple of devotees. We were going to Nandagram, I think, and the auto rickshaw almost had a collision with a truck. You know, in India, there is one traffic law only. That traffic law is might makes right. And you have to learn that traffic law. If you don't learn it, well, you'll be dead before long. And in the meantime, you'll get into a lot of trouble. So just remember that on the road. Might makes right. Apply that. Whichever is the biggest vehicle, it has the right of way. So our auto rickshaw driver, he was breaking that law. So at the last moment, he had to swing off the road, literally. And we were bouncing through the fields of Vrindavan. Fortunately, we stayed upright and came to a halt. We didn't roll or anything, but it was quite an experience. So we were sitting there at the end thinking, wow, that was close. But the rickshaw driver, he was sort of across the handlebars of his auto rickshaw, and he was sort of gasping and going, Rade, 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 Rade.
What's the chance of Jagannatha Pandit? When you can go, don't stay long in Vrindavan because you can't understand the process.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya told Jagannatha, it was, wasn't it? Right. Yeah. Don't mix too intimately with the Brijbasis because they're just in a different world, actually.
Yeah.
It's like a different realm of existence. And if you apply your vision as a regulated devotee, then it'll appear contradictory, and then you may commit offenses.
Jagannatha Pandit or Damodar Pandit?
Jagannatha. When he went to visit Sanatana Goswami.
Maharaj, you should not preach them.
I don't think so.
If you do, they won't listen. Because they already know it all. Anyway, you should be nice. You know, be nice. Don't get into any fights. Yeah.
Mm.
Just try and be very nice. And not get caught up.
Maharaj, like you were saying, Prabhupada said that he wants to die fighting with his boots on.
Right.
So we see people who have some disease or they are about to die within a few months. They come to Vrindavan. So, how we see this attitude,
How we anyway, Prabhupada also, before he left his body, he came to Vrindavan. But the basic idea is we shouldn't prematurely think that now I can renounce and, you know, go into seclusion and just chant peacefully. No, we should go on and on and on preaching. And then when the end is really coming, then we may leave our bodies in Vrindavan. Like that. Srila Prabhupada Kirtan.